side of the microphone from the green light to the speed trap. Ray Guarino and Jody calls them as they seize them, and you better believe them. Here, relevant news, biased opinion, and outright nonsense regarding every aspect of automotive culture. Gasp! With mechanical trickery never before broadcast over FCC-regulated airwaves. Thrilled to the explosive tension as Ray and Joe cuss each other down track. Barrel roll across the finish line, laughing at certain disasters as they shake hands with the devil. All that and so much more at high noon this Sunday on the Motormouth Radio Hour. Call in and speak live with the Wizards of Speed and the Live Feed, Ray Guarino and Joe D. Bring the whole family. Kids under 12 get in free every Sunday at noon on WHBC. Take the Hempstead Turnpike to the Meadowbrook Parkway and look for the no parking on the expressway and no express service on the parkway sign. Go right on Highway 24 to Garden City. $2 all-day parking includes pit pass.
Bending the strings for you this morning on Motormouth Radio, Long Island's only automotive talk show, with your host, Ray Guarino, and his wingman and XO Joe D over there. He's just playing a slide like you, nobody's business. Yeah, can you talk?
I used to drink. I used to smoke.
All right, well, anyway, that's Joe playing with Mr. Junior Brown on our intro today.
It's this microphone. Why not that much?
Yeah, well, look at this.
Oh yeah, it's unplugged.
The diagnostician takes the mic with the plug hanging off the back.
I didn't even see that.
Ironically correct.
Well, the story of my life this week is bad connections. But
you know, you and me both.
You know, don't get me started.
No, I know.
Don't get me started.
Well, that's what this show is for, Joe. We are here to talk about your diagnostic problems and all of that cool stuff and trying to help you out with your own. You can find us on the web, motormouthradio.com. Follow us on Instagram, Motormouth Radio, or Instagram is real_Motormouth Radio, and Twitter is Motormouth Radio. And if you do want to find out about the music on the show, people have asked in the past, you can look at the past shows, and on each of the show descriptors, at where you'll find the download, you'll see the music that's played on each show. We have provided that for the people who cared, and even for the ones who don't. So there's a lot of cool stuff up there on the website. Check out, play with the tabs, and just bump around.
If you want to find us, you will find us.
Yeah. So I have
don't make us come looking for you.
And you can call us at 516-572-7440. We had a historic moment last week, Joe, in Motormouth Radio history, because I know it seems like so long ago, but after the show last week, you and I got to work together.
Oh, yes, that's right. We usually don't get to cross our paths too much, because you live that way and I live this way. And, you know, it's kind of hard to meet up. But there were certain things that just needed to be done that require both of our combined talents there.
You got that right.
Yeah.
And we went down to the shop. Now, we'll close the saga on this, so we'll keep...
Now, by the shop, you mean...
The shop that I'm working at, the shop that's south...
Motormouth Radio East?
Yeah,
south?
Pretty much. Well, it's... Yeah.
Well, you and Chris used to say it? Yeah.
That's actually the one I have at home. This is actually a real shop, but... We had access to the shop, so we were able to... I was down there Saturday, and the thing I was trying to do that I talked about on last week's show was to change the serpentine and the stretch AC belt on my Mazda.
Right.
And the SERP is easy because it is a tensioner, but the stretch belt, they supply, Gates sold and supplied the tool, like a shoehorn ramp tool, to put the belt on, which did not work in my case. It was not correct for my application, even though it was listed as such. Gates still hasn't gotten back to me yet, so
really? They're
going to get a follow-up. So you and I went down there. We looked at some YouTube videos separately and saw that some guy said you could zip tie the belt to the pulley and put it on that way, and we had some success. Then we were like one tooth off on the AC clutch, right?
Right. Yeah. There was different permutations over there until we figured out the right way to do it.
Then weaseled that, and then it was one tooth off on the crank pulley. So that bounced around for a few revolutions.
Right. Yeah, until we got the geometry right. Yeah.
I was hearing number nine.
that Greek guy Archimedes from the diner down the block. He was very helpful there. You know.
So that's his principles. Yeah.
We have to. to say something about that. But it just took a little while, and I want to commend. Actually, I'm going to commend myself because I just wanted to take the big stinking pry bar and just because I see that at certain shops who are really nameless.
I know. But you got to be careful with it. You got crank and AC pulleys, which are delicate. You have,
right.
You have a serpentine belt, which is
delicate. You got the crank sensor hanging out in the breeze.
Yeah, which is right there, right?
But you were the MacGyver of the day with that piece of plastic there that you cut to fit. And we made our own AC installation tool. Actually, no, you made your own AC installation tool.
Again, we kind of brainstormed it and said, you know, we need a ramp to make this thing kind of... You thought of putting something in the groove. I forget what it was that you had mentioned. And I said, all right, how about...
It was like a B-flat bass line.
There you go. You can take a flat-wound
guitar string there, yeah.
So I went to the junk bucket that's there, and I just rooted through it and found a couple of pieces. So one of them was this hunk of plastic and said, hey, let's try it. What do we got to lose? So we just trimmed it with a pair of tin snips until it fit the width of the pulley, and use that to actually ramp that belt on, and it worked like a charm. If we would have done that in the beginning, we could have saved ourselves an hour.
And then you do that would have been the equivalent of hold my beer.
Right. Well, it could have been like from the rings from the six pack. I don't know.
It shouldn't have been that freaking hard.
It shouldn't have.
Now, if a certain belt company that will remain nameless.
Gates? You mean them?
You forgot to close that when you before you. Otherwise, the dog was going to get out.
Yeah.
If that would have had the correct tool, which we determined after looking at a couple other articles and videos, that would have been a slightly different diameter. It would have been a piece of cake. However,
exactly.
You know, these things do happen. As someone who is involved in writing instruction sheets and gets acrimonious phone calls from buyers of my company's parts, something slips through the cracks every now and again. They might have checked one application and assumed it fit another application. Maybe that would work on a different Mazda.
I don't know.
Or a different year or something like that. And, yours got kind of tossed into the mix. They didn't actually test fit it on your particular year model vehicle.
Well, see, that's the thing. That's why I sent them a very detailed email.
Yes.
Right? Because I know, and I do that anyway, but I know especially from the experience I've had with you and see the things you get on the through the line.
Yes, Ray gets to get a glimpse of my life every now and again.
It's great. Because, and I know, and I've always been that way. If you're going to send the company information, be it positive or negative, be detailed. Let them know exactly what you're talking about, because the guy on the other end doesn't know what you're talking about. So, give them the right information, and then they can maybe help to get your problem solved or at least understand what you're saying.
And sometimes the answer might just be, I've done this a number of times. It's like, look, we don't have an answer for you right now. Something like this normally takes blah, blah, blah amount of time, a day, 2 days, a week. So just in case you're sitting by the phone or waiting for your email to pop up, it ain't happening.
Good thing I wasn't waiting. Yeah,
exactly. At least, Pete, either it's like hold my beer, make a tool or something like that. Right. But it does happen.
Well, the answer that sometimes comes through your company is like, don't go away, man. Just go away. Or permutations thereof.
Yes. I mean, there are some times that you just can't.
You had one this week that was really cool. I mean, the guy, I understand the frustration, but you shouldn't be cursing in the email to the company about the part.
Oh, yeah, that's right. Yeah, my monitor started peeling.
You want to get fast service? Well, you'll get noticed fast, but you know what? That's not the way to get real.
Yeah,
who wants to deal with that guy?
Bottom line, when it comes to parts companies, and I think I could speak because I myself have. I have dealings with other companies, either on a private level or on a business level. That they want to straighten you out. They don't want a bad reputation.
Of course not.
They want you to come back and buy more of their product for whatever reason.
They're in business.
That's what it is. It'd be kind of like walking into a local store and the proprietor handing you a bad attitude.
Yeah,
it's like here. I know this burger ain't cooked. I know this burger is still mooing, but, tough. Take it or don't take it. Get out of here.
Right. Okay.
You ain't going back there again, right? So it's the same thing. They want to help. And the other thing about it is, too, is that next time around, maybe the changes will be made, which on that particular item that you had a problem with, maybe won't help you,
mm-hmm.
but it'll help the next guy, and maybe one...
Well.
You know,
my belt is installed, so my problem is solved.
Yeah, you're done.
Yeah, I mean, that's, but you're right, you know, help the next guy, and hopefully, you know, it goes the other way. Next time that I do that and use a recommendation to buy a tool or something, maybe the guy before me or two guys before me had the problem and it got straightened out.
Well, we had I had that one, the guy with the hydraulic brake light switch dead.
Right.
And
that's right. Big problem, too, with that, right?
I didn't really even know that who this guy was. And he told me his problem. And I said, look, send me the switch. Let me see it. You know, don't send, because hydraulic brake switches on older vehicles equals no brakes equal.
Yeah, leak.
Equal, death, big body work bills, stuff like that. So we take that stuff real serious.
Sure.
So I bought it back, and I analyzed the switch. And in the process, I sent him one out of stock so he can get his car back on the road. Turns out the guy writes for a magazine.
Uh-huh.
It's called Skin Knuckles. It's out of California. It's pretty cool. He sent me a copy of it.
Mm-hmm.
And, boy, you talk about guys, it's mainly antique stuff. And by antique, I'm talking even older than us.
Oh, okay.
Even older.
Wow, that's good.
But as far as that goes, it's pretty cool. So if you poke around and you see that, it's Skin Knuckles Magazine.
Skin Knuckles Magazine, very good.
And the guy, once he realized who he was dealing with, because I even said to him, look, as a fellow old car guy, I know what you mean. I feel your pain.
Mm-hmm. When I read that you wrote to him, I said, you know what? As I put myself in the position of being him, reading that and saying, okay, this is the guy I wanted to get a hold of at that company because he understands.
Right.
My situation.
Exactly. You know, and there are, like I said, there are other companies, other guys like that. And the thing is that when you want help from one of these companies and you write them an email or make a phone call or whatever, at least in the beginning, start by
a little humble.
Little humble, or ask your question, in a way that it's like, I got a bad part. It's more like, what is it, what it is that happened to you? What's the part number? Oh, I can't tell you how many times. Oh, I got a coil here that's no good. I'm like, so what are you driving?
Right. Right.
Is it a Maserati or is it a Corvette? You know what I mean? So I can't even look up to see what it is.
Yeah, like I said, I've always followed the dictum. I like to be very inclusive and logical in my
right.
Information, data questioning, is key.
Questioning my ancestry,
right,
or the number of opposable thumbs I possess is not going to help your case.
At least not from the beginning.
Delete button. No, we don't do that. But basically, I could equate this to going to a parts store. Not that people really go into real parts stores anymore. Not that there are many of them out there.
Mm-hmm.
But year, make, model. What kind of part is? Oh, it's not that thing on the side of the. It's not that thing on the side of the other thing, where you pour the green stuff in.
I've actually heard people say, what year is your car? It's the blue one. Like, the blue year, yeah.
Yeah, or some people are like, well, let's see, my son Bobby was two when I bought it.
I was working
and
at...
he's nine now, and who needs it? No.
Right.
It's written on the friggin' registration sticker on the window. Come on, tell me that. And walk around the trunk and read the nameplate on the back. And, because it's either that or I'm going to have to guess.
Right.
And you don't want me to guess.
No.
All right? It's the same, and it's the same thing with the with trying to get help with something. Because sometimes there could be a known problem. It's like, hey, yeah, we do have that listed wrong. What you really need, it's not this part number. You need that part number.
Yeah.
And the internet hasn't been refreshed yet or whatever. Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah.
So, and that's the thing, too, about talking to live people, too. It's some of those, press one for this problem.
Yeah.
Or, just click something on a website doesn't really necessarily help. So, basically, you want to try human contact if at all possible.
Tell you what we're going to do. We are going to click on something. We're going to take a break. We'll click on these cool buttons here on the board, and we'll get to our truck driving sides, whatever that is. And we'll be back with more Motor Mouth Radio.
About not being able to drive a truck after the break.
Yeah, more Motor Mouth Radio with your host, Ray Guarino, and Joe D. Keep it where you got it, and let's enjoy some more of Joe's great slide work. Let's see if he can pull this one off on Motor Mouth Radio.
They say I gotta be half crazy to be doing what I do. traffic, gear jamming, coffee drinking, truck driving, fool.
Wow, that's like crazy loud music. What are you listening to?
The best music on the radio. Come on, this is the Iron Age.
The what age?
The Iron Age, the show that brings you various types of heavy metal music from all over the spectrum.
Really? I've never heard of it. How do you know so much about it?
I'm the host.
Wait, if you're the host, how are you driving this car and on the radio at the same time?
Come on, don't ask so many questions. The Iron Age with me, Justin Sullivan, delivers the best variety of heavy metal music that you could ever ask for. Only on the Iron Age will you find music as ridiculously heavy as Meshuggah and Oceanic, along with chill and relaxing tunes like Tool and Deftones.
Well, that sounds cool and all, but I think I'm just going to listen to something else.
Ooh, I think that's going to be a problem. I think you're going to have to find another ride then.
What?
Saturday Night Fever. Polyester Suits. The Brady Bunch. Bell Bottom Jeans. And the music of the 70s.
Knock three times on the ceiling if you want me.
Join me, Ron Stevens, on the radio, Saturday mornings at 7 a.m. for 2 hours of the decade of Elton John, the Eagles, and disco. The Super 70s, the 70s at 7, Saturday mornings on the Voice of Nassau Community College, 90.3 WHPC.
We'll be back with answers to your car questions. Give us a call at 516-572-7440. Oh, I should have said the motor mouth thing.
Still we're over the hill and we're never going to take it slow. Because we're semi-crazy.
Yeah, we've been called semi-crazy.
Only semi-crazy?
And then some, yes. Back with more Motor Mouth Radio.
It's like three-quarter crazy.
Right. Ray Guarino, Joe D, we are back, and we're going to do some more fun stuff and talk about car repair and all sorts of crazy stuff that we get ourselves involved in.
Yes. Yeah. And let's face it, like there's no... Well, I guess we could be bored, Ray.
We could be, yeah.
I mean... But, you know, going back to last week over at the shop over there, we finally got the belt on.
Right.
Which, you know, it wasn't exactly rocket science, but it did take a certain amount of geometry and a little bit of creativity to go around the procedure there. You know,
it's like what did the sapling say when he grew up? Gee, I'm a tree. Yeah. And that's the thing. You know, when Chris and I tried working together a couple times on things, and it didn't work.
Yeah, well, you and Mr. Swizz have, like, extremely diametrically opposed
we were so opposite.
Approaches.
Yeah.
I mean, which works really good because, you know, if you ever want to listen to the old... The old shows that are on the website there.
Yeah.
Chris and Ray going at it. that's award material. There should have been a trophy someplace for you guys.
That's why I made great radio, because we basically were diametrically opposed and everything didn't agree on anything, especially where car repair or car stuff came to. Yeah. You and I are more on the same line. We like to attack a problem a little more logically, a little more with thinking about it, you know, before we dive into
Looking before we're leaping, yeah.
And then, you know, trying to make...
And besides that, in the shop, there's more stuff for you to throw at Chris.
Oh well, yeah.
And you know, and having witnessed the Chris Ray interaction in the studio here, there's been lots of throwing of stuff.
Oh, in here, yeah.
So yeah, you know, but usually around here, you know, it's paper clips, you have the occasional pen.
I've thrown pens, yeah.
Yeah, stuff like that. We were in the other room there with the window between us and the board. Oh, that was great. It was like a barrage.
That was the best, yeah.
Yeah, I just like stood there. I was like, how is this stuff sticking? Ray, what are you throwing?
See, I knew in here, where we're in open air and within real hitting, striking distance.
Right.
You know, I have enough brains, the little bit that I have, to know that, hey, you could hurt somebody even with a pen.
Yeah, I know.
If you hit him in the eye or whatever. But
you're
going to
put your eye out with that thing.
Right, you're right.
And don't run with those scissors.
That's right. But in there with the partition, it was like, oh, game on.
It was open season. Great, yeah.
And I knew that it wasn't glass.
Yeah,
it was plexi,
so that's why, you know, in the interest of the safety of the two co-hosts, that shop time between the two of them was severely limited.
Yeah.
On the other hand, the two of us will sit there and we'll spout theory to each other a lot.
Yeah.
Yeah. which is pretty good, you know, because we the next thing we did once we got the belt thing done, and like I said, the weapons of prying and mass destruction were pretty much not used. I mean, we only used a little pry bars, and that was more of a location.
You got to see all the new versions of the new battery powered snap on tools.
Yes, those are very cool. Those things are pretty good. I mean, you know, yeah. Everybody should know about battery-powered tools, you know?
Well, it needs a couple grand.
Yeah, I know, but, you know, hey, listen, carpal tunnel, you know, and stuff like that, you know?
Right, right.
But then we approached the check engine light.
Exactly.
So do we have, like, echo that we could put on, like, the check engine light that never left, you know?
Yeah. Now, that was the thing. I've had that check engine light on now for a couple of years.
Mod on.
With a PO171 lean code.
Yeah.
And you did bring a smoke machine over once to my house. We put the smoke machine in. And
yeah, and we found smoke coming down from the low part of by the PCV system, which is fairly common for the Mazdas. I had seen a number of them in the shop. You know, so I was like, oh, there it is, right? Piece of cake. Except, you know, it's not a piece of cake because you got to take the intake off, blah, blah, blah.
Right. The PCV valve, thankfully to Ford, because it was a Ford design, is on the engine, but you have to take the intake manifold off the front of the engine to get it to PCV and hose.
I think there's engineers still laughing about that every time somebody goes on the internet and looks up.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, they probably tag it, see how many people they got.
You know, and the hose is the common problem. Now, just to back up again to these belts, belts on my car had 89,000 miles on them, and I used my Gates belt groove checking tools.
Which is really cool, folks.
And both of the belts checked fine. Still checked fine.
And you still touched them.
Yeah.
You still touched them.
Yeah.
But it's okay.
Well, I figured 89,000 miles, I mean, come on. Yeah, it's time to change the belts.
Yeah.
I mean, but so anyway. So yeah, that was the thing. We went, you know, I have to get the car inspected next month. So now it's getting a little more critical. I was able to get the car in between check engine lights in the past. Now it's been on more than off.
Right.
So while I had you there, I said, let's take a look at this. And
right, because I myself had bought my one of my fine antique cars there, the old Camry.
That's right, right.
Which is just about to turn 200,000 miles. And it had sat for some time due to logistics and all that kind of stuff. But seeing as how my daughter is home and she likes to drive that car, I wanted to go over it and make sure it was in one piece so I could at least feel halfway decent about her.
And we found the old girl, not your daughter, but the car needs a little bit of work. No,
there's a punch list on it. You know, there's an axle boot that's kind of ripped. All and. Right. There's a number of things that got to be done, but
minor stuff, yeah.
But the thing is, I did not have the toolbox with me.
Right, that's
right. You know what I mean? And contrary to popular belief, I do not have 7 scan tools in every car I drive
or in every pocket.
Get out of my! You did it again. Get out of my head. People are saying, you got a scan tool in. I can check my ABS. I'm like, yeah, I got this finger right here. Where you want me to put it? You know
exactly.
So so we had to go with the shop.
Yeah.
The Ortel
Moxidas.
Yeah. No, that's actually
Moxisys.
Moxisys. Yeah.
Luckily, Mike had his
Moxisys and a half over there.
And I was hoping he left it, and he did. So we were able to use that.
Yeah. Right now.
So you were trying to convert grams per minute to tons per metric?
Yeah. Like some of the, you know, Ortel is a very, they've come a long way in the last few years, but there's still some things that I'm not 100% enthusiastic about.
Right.
I mean, I own an Ortel tool, you know what I mean? And I would never tell anybody to not consider it.
But you curse at every time you use it.
Yeah, because it does stuff like, you know, the G-Scan does it too.
Yeah.
I also have another highly regarded tool from a company called GIT. Mm-hmm. You know, and that's the fact, it's made by the people who make the factory scan tool for Hyundai.
Right.
But for some reason, the units of measurement these people use over there on the other side of the Pacific over there, you know, like, I mean, mass airflow, I mean, you guys who troubleshoot, you look at grams per second. Mm-hmm. I know, for me, that's a number that I rely on. You know, fuel trim, you know, especially like a PO171, fuel trim load, grams per second. And on the Ortel, it was in,
tons per,
like ox carts per week or some stuff like that. I was like,
tons per parsec. It's like, okay.
Yeah, exactly. And, you know, essentially, when you can't find that conversion on the app on your phone.
Right.
Well, okay, screw it. We're not going to use it.
Yeah, yeah.
So Ray and I are looking at each other. Oh, look at me flashed.
Yeah. All right, well, let's interject. We'll get back to this because this has a great...
Here's the payoff's coming, folks.
There's a good takeaway, but we'll go back to the phones here and we'll say, hi, you're on with the Motor Mouths.
Hey, fellas, how you doing? It's Cliff. Hey, Cliff.
Cliff, what's happening,
man? I wanted to wish you guys a solemn Memorial Day.
Yes, sir.
You're absolutely right.
And not all that happy for a lot of people, but, you know, we have to think of these guys that, you know, didn't get back for us.
That's right. You're right. And this is the time to do it. We do need to remember that, as always. Yes.
Yeah. Wanted to bring up, I know you guys talking about stuff. I don't know if you ever got a chance to bring up about, I think I was emailing you about Danny doing that 8-volt conversion on that 55 T-Bird.
Yeah. I saw the email about that. Yeah.
Yeah.
It was kind of interesting. He said the owner is very, very happy with it. And apparently it seemed to give, the guy used to have a lot of problems with, you know, when the car got hot and power to start it. And, mm-hmm. It seemed to be an interesting concept that I never thought of. I never really even heard of myself.
Yeah, I never knew about the 8-volt battery thing. I really didn't. And I was in the auto electric business. That was one that got past me. So
yeah, so
pretty cool.
Joe D, have you come across that at all?
I have heard about it. You know, and it makes a certain amount of sense because I guess it all depends on what the car runs at after it starts and the charging system kicks in.
Yeah, now apparently this guy at this electric place in Sayasadet, I guess, does some of Danny's alternators and stuff. I don't know if this is something exclusive to him or not, but he does some kind of modification to the voltage regulator.
It's we'll use an adjustable regulator, yeah.
And then he, I guess, does, you know, I don't know if there's something different with the generator. This car had a regular, you know, generator-style generator. Yeah. And apparently you don't have to change any of the wiring or bulbs or gauges. And
that's the thing, Cliff. You know, the electrical systems will handle a range of voltage. There's always, you know, it's not a small, small window. There's a range. So, yeah, you can always go a little more. And the usually the wire is rated for a little over.
Okay, yeah. And it was interesting, and apparently the owner is very satisfied with it and says he feels confident driving it now. He's really giving it the test and driven it hot, turns it off, starts right up.
I tell you, Danny is the man with these engine swaps he's doing. I love the way he runs his shop, boy.
He's doing that interesting. He's become, I call him, the Target Master guy now.
Yeah.
He's very into these brand-new over-the-counter Target Masters for guys that aren't looking for really performance per se, but more just to like take a car that starts up all the time.
Drivability.
Drive it. And I know I've been sending you pictures of that 62 Vet. That they basically wanted more of a drivable car. They put the Target Master in. They did the that place steroids. He got the front end power steering rack and pinion conversion. You know, they did like the suspension over little odds and ends things. And now he's some guy came in with a 69 Scout. And with a manual transmission, very nicely restored Scout, actually. Yeah. And a guy saw it. I guess that was his buddy's car. And he goes, I want the same thing, but I want an automatic put in it because I want my wife to be able to drive it and power steering. And he's taking it on. And he seems to be enjoying that third bay. He's kind of doing his little projects. And his brother, thank God his brother's running the rest of the shop.
That's good. Yeah.
Because, you know, but it's interesting. And,
very good. Nice. That's excellent.
They order a repair, can be wear on you. But when you get to do projects like that, that when it comes out, it's really cool. You know what I mean? That does your heart good because a lot of times cars come in, they don't start, or like they have some issue with it. The car is unusable. Now, first of all, it's probably somebody's uninteresting day to day car. You know, when you get it back and you know it stopped misfiring, or it's now like you could hit the brakes and you don't go through the stop sign and stuff like that. Well, that's all well and good, but when you actually do something like you upgrade the tranny or something like that, where you're actually upping the performance of the vehicle, that's great. There's an outcome, and you get to see the owner, the smile on the owner's face. You know, that's great stuff.
We got to get Danny in here. Cliff, you got to get him in here one of these days.
It's funny. I said to him, I said, what's up with these, you know, what do you like these Target Masters about? He goes, you know, because if I take even the motor, if it's not an original matching numbers car and, you know, that he would, you know, redo. But if it's just a guy that has, like, a mismatched motor in the car anyway, he goes, you know what? It costs me more than that to have it rebuilt or machine it. So he goes, here I'm getting a brand-new motor from Chevy. They deliver it right over, and it's, you know.
They still call them Target
Masters?
I put
a few things on it that I want, you know, maybe, you know, a little, you know, higher quality stuff on top of it. And he goes, it's a good gig. But it was interesting when I had never realized I saw he had the IH motor pulled out of this Scout. I think it's a 304, and it has the manual transmission. I was looking at the transmission, and it's actually a Muncie transmission.
Okay.
Yeah. Sure.
And it was a big, looks like a real big truck transmission.
Yeah. Muncie was the town with that Bill Trannies. You know, even though we equate the name Muncie with that typical four speed that was in a lot of hot rods, it was. Yeah. It was more like it was Muncie, Indiana, or something like that. You know,
was that what it's for the name of the place?
Yeah, because they used to do that with a number like Harrison Radiator. That was like Harrison Rochester carburetors.
I have a Muncie transmission book at home that tells you the details all of that. Yeah, it's true.
And I guess when we were kids, the first thing you did was you wanted to get rid of that Muncie Lincoln, that Muncie shifter.
Well, the link, yeah.
How many of those got thrown out back the in
shifters,
the day? Now they're desirable items to guys, you know, restoring a car back to. You know, originality.
The shifters
yeah, that's because
the
nobody's going to pound on the thing no more. Now they're just going to drive it in a parade or something like that.
They yoked the Muncie and threw in a hearse back in the day.
Exactly.
But anyway, listen, guys, the show is always great. It always makes my Sunday. And, I hope everything goes well with you guys.
Thanks, Cliff.
What do we got to send the check there, Cliff?
Yeah, I got his address. Don't worry.
Yeah, okay, good. Thank you very much. Cliff. Very kind
that's
words.
Wait for that Motormouth T-shirt.
When we make him, you'll get one. Don't worry.
Hey, you know, I can't sew that good. You know, I know. My fingers keep bleeding. Eh?
All right.
I do have some vintage Motormouth radio decals, window decals.
Yeah, we had made those back in the past.
Yeah, I have. I'm an owner of a few. So.
We'll keep you in luck. Keep you in the loop on that, Cliff.
Take care, Phil.
All right.
And have
take
a great
care.
Weekend.
Thanks, Cliff.
Thanks for calling.
All right. We're going to go back. We're going to take another break. But, you know, you go to Zazzle.com and you can find Motormouth Radio goods and stuff. You can get T-shirts and hats made.
Swag?
Yeah, swag.
I think I call it swag, yeah.
Swag, yeah.
Cool.
But, you know, I know we were talking about all sorts of stuff. No one ever talked about the other job you had that you don't really talk about. So I'll let you sing about it as we go to break. Ray Guarino, Joe D. Limber up there, Motormouth Radio. Let's hear what Joe used to do, and we'll be back in a minute.
You heard about the singing brakeman. You might have seen a singing cowboy, too. Well, I'm Joe, the singing janitor. I'm at a theater near you. I'll also be appearing at the concert you'll be hearing, but I won't be singing with a band. I'm Joe, the singing janitor. Leaning up for the folks, getting by the best I can.
Hey, have you seen DJ Solero?
No, why?
Well, he was supposed to be here right now to tell everyone about his show, The Rare Groove Session, but I can't find him anywhere.
I'll look for him. Maybe he got something to eat.
Food? He went to get food? I mean, who can eat at a time like this?
Relax. I'm sure everyone can figure out when they can listen to the most incredible music from the 60s and 70s that they may not have heard before.
But what if they can't? What if they never figure out when the Rare Groove Session is on? What happens then, huh? I don't want to live in a world where no one knows about the Rare Groove Session.
Hey guys, ready to tell everyone about RGS?
DJ Solero, where the f*** have you been?
I was getting something to eat.
How can you eat at a time like this?
What are you talking about?
Don't mind her. Go ahead and tell everybody when to listen.
Okay, whatever. So if you're looking for some mind-blowing music, check out the Rare Groove Session. Now at a brand new time, late Friday nights or early Saturday mornings, depending on how you look at it, starting at 1 a.m. on the voice of Nassau Community College, 90.3 WHPC.
Oh my, oh my, oh my. Let me tell you about this fine show we have here at the station called Motormouth Radio. It is a car show hosted by Ray Guarino and Joe D. But you know what? It's not just cars. Sometimes talk about other things, and even when they're just talking about cars, it's about the love of cars. It's about the feeling you get. You know, they open up a hood and they say, damn, I want to redo this engine. Not everyone says that. These guys do. And like I always say also, you know, you watch those cooking shows. You don't cook, you can listen to these guys not know anything about a car. So please listen to Motormouth Radio every Sunday, 12 noon, right here on WHPC. And if you don't listen, that's your fault. You'll go through the rest of the day saying, damn it, I didn't listen. I should have listened. Sort of like Motormouth Radio. You don't have to like cars to listen to them. It helps if you do, but you don't have to. Thank you.
I'm a mop. I make everything sparkle and shine.
Mention the mop.
There you go, mopping and shining. It's Joe the janitor.
That's it. See, now they know. I'm not really a technician for any large auto parts company. I am just a janitor. They hand me the mop. Hey, I got that floor polisher. I got that thing tweaked, man. Them sure floors shine.
You do know how to mop up some problems quite well, my friend. You certainly do.
Yeah, yeah. It's just a matter of using the right cleaner. That Mother Switzer's mix that you made there.
Yeah.
Jeez. It's good for what ails you.
Good stuff.
You know?
So what else is good for what ails you on this fine station, Joe?
Well, actually, one of the fun things about this station is the Nassau Morning Madhouse, which is on weekday mornings from 7 to 9. Find out what you need to start your day the right way. Tune in and you'll find out what's trending. And maybe laugh a little, too. I have personal experience with listening to that show because my son used to be on it.
That's correct.
When he was here, you know, he's a recent graduate. And these kids are funny. These kids are funny. Plus, they cover some topical topics over there. So definitely tune in. It's something that you could listen to while you're drinking your coffee. The only thing is, I would suggest not doing it in front of your keyboard, just in case you find something a little too entertaining. Then you got to call Joe the janitor.
Right.
So as far as that goes, you've been warned.
Exactly. Very good. Very good.
Yeah. So shall we continue with the thing over there?
Let's finish with our takeaway there on the Mazda, because the problem was the way we found it is you hooked up.
We MacGyvered it a little bit, because when I found that like I couldn't find all the parameters, all the lines of data that I wanted. I mean, they were there, but they're laid out a little more a little less conventionally than what I'm used to in my usual tools. So I usually pick up, you know, grams per second, like we were just talking about. So we went with the old standbys, which was oxygen sensors and fuel trim.
Mm-hmm.
And fuel trim, just in case. I mean, I know we've talked about it before, but just in case you forgot, you know, it's going to be on the test, so don't forget that. Fuel trim is how the ECM keeps the mixture at the correct air fuel ratio, which is typically 14.71. But let's just keep it at the right mixture for now. There are variations. Think of it as a little man that used to be under the hood of a carburetor car to constantly twist in the mixture screws or adjust in the flow level. Except now that we do this electronically with injector on time.
And he plays soccer.
Yes. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah, the socket thing. I forgot about the socket thing. Yeah. When I was still trying to get the hang of this, one of my coworkers who was of European descent over there, he said, I can't do the accent.
Yes, you can.
I know it's Irish brogue. I can't.
Oh, jeez.
Yeah, no.
Maybe you can't.
No, not today. For some reason, it's just. But basically, it was like, Joe, yes, you're a goalie. You're standing in front of the net. They kick the ball at you. And then if the ball comes right at you, that is zero. That is no correction, no fuel trim. Now, let's say you have to move your arm to block the ball to your left. That would be short-term fuel trim. And if you hit it, that would be, slight correction, say negative or positive. We didn't decide who was the negative side yet.
Mm-hmm.
And then on the other side, if you would stick out your arm the other way, and that would be a short-term correction the other way.
Mm-hmm.
Now, they try to go for the corner of the net, and now you have to step over. I shouldn't step away from the mic, should I?
Yeah, no, because they won't hear you.
And then that would be long-term correction. So by looking at, you know, short-term trim happens now, pretty much in real time, especially on anything built in the last, say, 10, 12 years. And what we did was we grabbed the can of diagnostic fluid, formerly known as carburetor cleaner.
Actually, I use throttle body cleaner.
Okay. It burns, right?
Yeah.
I was going to try the lighter fluid, but you stopped me. It was like,
yeah.
You're like, hey, this ain't no Stratocaster.
So you said, I'll watch the data. You spray the sucky points.
You spritz. Yeah.
Right. And that's what I did. And when I hit this one tube.
Yes,
whoa,
of a sudden.
You actually jumped back. You said, oh, my God, here it is.
Got it. Nailed it. Yeah, you know, did a little victory dance or whatever. Basically, the oxygen sensor showed rich. The fuel trims, which were like positive 20, which, by the way, fuel trims, you never really want more than 10.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? So this thing was way out of the ballpark. So as soon as we sprayed it, it went negative the other direction. It went in the other direction to negative. And I was like, We found our culprit. It's the stupid little grommet.
Of course, what do we do? We verified it like 10 times.
Yes.
Because it was fun just watching the thing go up.
That was fun. I put it in graph mode. You could see making squiggly lines. It was like Etch-a-Sketch, especially on the Autel tool, because it looks like a friggin' Etch-a-Sketch.
It does, yeah.
You know, so we were having fun. We were making little stick men and stuff. So I was like, okay, we got to fix it now because like it's almost time to go home. So we put the scan tool to the side. And what we found is that Mazda uses this rather intricate, almost German O-ring and flange on the end of this tube. They don't have like a push-in and a clamp like everybody else. No, they got this O-ring and a tube set up.
And we still don't know if something is missing from that.
Yeah, right, because we'll talk about that in a minute because I have to take credit for that.
Yeah.
So basically, after we tried like 7 different O-rings from the kit and little different configurations, stuff like that, we got out the...
We decided we had to seal the tube into the bushing with something, and...
I was out of chewing gum.
And right, what are we going to use? So...
Silicone.
Went for the Permatex.
Yeah. You know... The
RTV, which is room temperature vulcanizing.
Yes.
As all you Vulcans know.
Yeah, living long and prospering.
That's right.
Since 1988.
Living long and sealing for many decades.
That's true. I wanted to use Dom Dom because I also felt that was a little bit more
it would have been
considering why it happened. But we put it on there, cleared the code, started the car up, and the fuel trims went negative. Mm-hmm. Now, when you're doing fuel trim codes and you think you found the problem, if you don't reset them and all of a sudden you see the trims go in the opposite direction, like so let's say you were positive 20, now the short term goes, say, to negative 20, just about the same thing.
Right.
Now the car is trying to correct because you fixed it. In this case, it was an air leak at a pretty inopportune spot. It was right by the throttle body. So, like, it might as well have just been, like, something the size of New Jersey, this friggin' thing. Even though it was tiny, you couldn't hear it, nothing like that.
Right.
And we had verification there.
Now, the problem was that as we talked about it, we went back to when we smoked that car, which has got to be, like, 2-3 years ago.
Yeah, it was like two years ago. Yeah,
yeah. And
I got to take the blame for that too because I popped that line out back then.
Well, we're thinking that was the line. We took that line out because there is vacuum on that line.
Yeah, because your stinking power brake booster was impossible to get at.
Exactly, and that's where we put induced the smoke into the system.
Right, the smoke machine having that little fitting.
So the problem now became the part that was actually causing the leak.
Did I break it?
We actually induced the smoke there, so
right.
we couldn't see the smoke come out of it.
Right, we never would have seen it because...
And even so, even if smoke was induced somewhere else... You know, how easy it would have been to see smoke escaping from an area where there's pressure, negative pressure, pulling the air in.
Right, right. Well, my good friend and...
That's right, when the propane...
John Rogers, who every once in a while smacks me in the head and gets my head on, my mind on straight again. He said that sometimes the smoke machine doesn't show that because some leaks are suckers and some leaks are gushes. So basically, you know, those you got to find with either the propane, a carburetor cleaner, or something like that, and let the vacuum pull in. Thanks, John.
Right.
And essentially there... We were able to nail it. I think what had happened, though, is that a couple of years back, we stuck that in there. We fixed the real problem, or the original problem, because that was like the intake had to come off and all that fun stuff.
Yeah.
And this one got induced a little later on at some point, so...
Mm-hmm.
Well, they do make a tool now that you stuff it right in the air cleaner intake.
Uh-huh.
It's like that blood pressure cuff thing.
Right.
You pump it up and it conforms to the intake.
Mm-hmm.
And then all of a sudden, then now you can just send it right through where the car would normally breathe. And speaking of breathing, let's hit the flash.
Yeah, let's see who's on here. Let's go on the phone and say hi. You're on the Motor Mouths.
Hello, Professor Ray. Hello, Joey D. This is Howie. How are you doing, guys?
It's the big man. What's happening, Howie?
Thank you, man. A lot of things are happening. And, you know, hey, I think we're going through a cycle. Every 2 years, we have 15 days of rain.
Is that so?
I haven't counted.
You counted?
Show season.
Yeah, wow. Hmm.
Mm-hmm.
I've never noticed that, but that does make a lot of sense there.
Hey, you know, I mean, today was supposed to be the Buick show. It's going to happen June 10th, but I know next week is June 3rd, Old Westbury Gardens, one of my favorite shows
yeah,
there.
Classic yeah, classic show.
That's going to happen.
I got to tell you what's going to happen here. Next week on the 3rd, we are planning on having Audra, what's her name, Audra Forden.
Audra Forden, yeah.
Forden, yes. Yeah. She's a woman that owns a shop in Bayside. So we're going to celebrate.
Flushing. Queens.
Queens. We will be celebrating women who work on cars by having one in the studio next week.
That's great. I think it's fantastic.
Yeah, we need more of them in the trade for a variety of reasons.
I happened to mention it to my kids. You know, like there's on Channel 150 Velocity, there's All Girls Garage.
Yeah, I've seen that.
You know, I mentioned it to Stephanie, to Kim, you know, and to Diana. I mean, you know, you can do anything you want.
Right.
And how'd that go over?
I think over too good.
Yeah, but, I would
think not. They probably like, get out there and change my oil. Yeah,
right.
Get out there, and take care of the brakes of the oil.
Yeah,
you know, that kind of thing.
I hear.
But I see it, and the girls are pretty good. The old girls garage.
Yeah.
You know.
Excellent.
So
and I wanted to tell you there's something new happening, June 23rd at the Food and Fun Deli, a place where we all should be. Is going to be a 2 p.m. to 8 p.m. car show on a Saturday at the Food and Fun Deli in West Babylon.
Oh,
Food and Fun.
It's down by the cemeteries.
By the cemeteries, I have a good relationship with Judine, who's the owner there, and she mentioned it to me when I happened to stop by, and I said, let's do that. And she was thinking of a Saturday show instead of a Sunday show.
Good idea.
And she just, you know, she put in a lot of lighting there. You know, it's going to be like sunlight at night. And I just feel, you know, why not? She's going to give a discount on the food, and she may provide some music.
Okay. You know? Right. Very good. If not, you can sing.
There you go.
I don't know about me. I just know about Joey D singing.
I was going to say you could do your stand-up there. Do you have an address for that place, the Food and Fun Deli over there? Somebody's asking.
It's on Wellwood Avenue in West Babylon.
It's like exit 35 off the Southern State, or 34.
Okay.
It takes you right to the cemeteries right there. Yeah, it's a very popular area there.
Okay, yeah. Maybe at some point you could supply that place.
You know, it is a true value hardware, and it's a Food and Fun Deli. And it's sort of like the classic models and games of the 50s, 60s, and 70s.
Howie, if you get a flyer from that event, send it to us, please.
Yeah, so we could put it up on the interweb over there.
I will. I probably could. I might have a picture of the card. I could send it to you.
All right, good idea.
That works, yeah. Let's face it, because any place that you could play with your food without getting yelled at is, you know, Food and Fun. Yeah, it sounds like
absolutely.
Sounds like my kind of place.
All right, Howie.
It's definitely. Be well, guys.
We're going to take our last break.
Good talking to you.
Thanks, Howie.
Be well.
Take care.
Right.
Bye-bye.
So long. All right, that was the big man. And, Joe, we're going to take our last break.
Yeah, what am I going to do now?
Since it's so rainy, I know you want to do some surfing. So let's crank up that surf medley that you like to play so much. And we'll Ray Guarino, Joe D, Motormouth Radio, will be back in a bit.
Rob Leonard, host of Beatles Songs for the past 24 years right here on WHPC. Beatles Songs airs every Friday from 8 p.m. to 11 p.m., playing the music of the Beatles together, apart, along with Beatle cover songs and songs the Beatles covered, along with songs a Beatle either guested on and or produced. And of course, we provide Beatle news. It's not the same show where they play the same 10 songs. So join me every Friday for Beatles Songs. 8 p.m. to 11 p.m. on 90.3 WHPC, the voice of Nassau Community College, streaming at ncc.edu/WHPC.
This is Dennis Pitzenberger from Sticker Shock, and if you're not listening to Motormouth Radio, boy, you are lost in the smoke of the burnout. Make sure and tune in each and every week because these guys are exactly what you want to hear. Real car guys, real talk, every single weekend.
Thank you.
Oh, Joe, you are sweet today on that slide. You are, your fingers must be well-conditioned. And thank you to Dennis Pitzenbarger for that great little promo. Of course, Dennis is the star of the new show Sticker Shock on Discovery Channel that I just watched two episodes of last night.
Oh, did you? Yeah.
Good friend of ours, yes.
I was snoring at that point, so.
I watch them on demand. I missed them during the week, so I'm catching up.
Yeah, let's face it. When you're out playing with all this stuff, in the real world over there, sometimes you don't get a chance to sit back and. I know that. Did you just see that go flying?
I did say that. Yes.
You didn't throw that, did you?
No, okay. I didn't.
The pee popper thing came flying off my off my microphone. And I swear I didn't break it.
I know. I said to you a while back when I started working at the shop. I said, Joe, I feel like you. And you said, oh, my God, I'm so sorry. I'm like, yeah, because I know now I come home. It's like, I don't want to look at the computer. I don't look at email. I just want to, like, wolf down something, stuff some groceries down my throat and, like, go.
Yeah, I hear that.
And
I
do, yeah.
That was definitely my night. Friday.
Okay.
That was the ongoing Jeep saga.
Oh, the Jeep. Wow.
Oh, yeah. I kind of gave you a link on that as far as that goes.
Give us a quick.
Well, it's a saga, so let's see if we can encapsulate this real quick. Yeah.
Yeah.
This car was an occasional no start, but sure as heck acted like an ECM.
One of the hardest ones to find, too.
Yeah, it was a real pain in the butt. And
what year was the Jeep?
04.
Okay.
An 04 Wrangler. And basically. This started out as I took a quick look at it. You know, this car was parked like in the middle of like Hempstead Turnpike, and it wasn't stuck or nothing. Just that sometimes shops do not let me inside. You know what I mean? And I have to like either work out in the street or like out in their yard or whatever. So I took a look around. It had some problems with like lack of communication, stuff like that. Which doing a quick cruise through like IATN and stuff, it was like, you know, the number one the number one cause ended up being an ECM. Now, this is also a cautionary tale because this shows you where things can go horribly wrong. So the guy says, if you want me to check it, by the way, the vehicle was starting at that point. So yeah. I had nothing really to test. So I said, you know, the number one thing on the interweb is an ECM, which, by the way, these are websites that, these are not the yokels in their basement.
This isn't YouTube University.
Yeah, right. No, these, you know, by the way, you know, there's some good YouTubers these days. So
we got to rephrase
that. But right. as far as that goes, like the number one thing, if you wanted to play, you know, load the shotgun, you know, load the parts cannon, was an ECM. So I says, go get a used one, you know, go down to the boneyard, which happened to be not too far from the guy's shop. I says, go pick one up for like $100 or whatever, slap it in there, and let's see what happens. No. So what does the guy do? He goes out and he buys one brand new from Chrysler, which, by the way, these days, most ECMs come empty. So now you have to pay the guy to come and program it, which includes the anti-theft and the software to run the car. Otherwise, it's not going to do much of anything as far as running. So basically, guy puts it in, and the car does the same thing.
Right? Problem not solved.
Yeah, really. So, I mean, I didn't feel too bad because I said I wanted to check the car for, you know, further out. But anyway, it lands on my lap. So I was over there because now the customer, you know, the shop owner is like, I got to get this car back. This car's been around too long, blah, blah, blah. So I got to see
the problem solved is not
yes. visual distractions
see, cell phones are fun for something.
There you go, right? Sure. Yeah. Now put that Roman candle down because that definitely is against the fire code.
Can I borrow your lighter?
No, I'm going to just like light my own butt and fire in a minute.
Yeah, look at the graphic on that one, folks. That's great.
I was going to say I was going to play F-18.
We got about 6 minutes.
So anyway, the thing is that the guy had drove it around because it was ambulatory for a while.
Yeah.
And I checked for codes, and sure enough, there was codes rattling around. I was trying to see if there was any kind of inkling. Then the car, not really, wrote the codes down. Car acted up.
Right. Fast forward just to the point where you had it in UD and you were looking, because we're getting run out.
Yeah, no, I'm sorry. I'll talk faster now. I'll talk like the
ocean. No, talk faster. Just
so essentially
just
what happened
out.
Was the codes that I saw before were erased as if somebody disconnected
the
battery.
And that was
battery.
A clue.
Yes, that was a clue. So at that point, we go back to the old standby of powers and grounds. Mm-hmm. And of course, the first time I checked it, powers and grounds were fine. Then we go back and we go check some more. And then finally, I just started back probing wires. You know, I've got my my pulmonary connectors and my back probes backstabbed all over the various, you know, and I've got my multimeter on multiple display over there. Mm-hmm. And then when it acted up, the battery feed went to nothing.
Interesting.
So, yeah, it just got high, and it was there a minute ago.
Fascinating.
Yeah, fascinating is right. Fascinating at that time of night is not fun.
No.
So essentially at that point, I started looking through the harness, you know, looking at the diagram at the different splice joints or whatever. This thing was a rot rat anyway.
Yeah.
So what we ended up doing is we ended up sistering up the battery feed from the fuse box to the ECM without actually cutting it and replacing it. We actually just ran a redundant wire between the fuse box and the ECM.
Yeah.
Because that was the keep alive memory power is the other name of it. And all of a sudden, last I heard, car's still starting.
Yeah.
You know, for the last couple of days, you know, the guy kind of sneaks up on it, gets in and drives it.
No, that's, you know, that's...
That's what you got to do in intermittent sometimes, but...
I wish we would have started that one earlier, because the path that you had to take, the diagnostic path, is something that...
It's not a path. You know what that's called? The rabbit hole.
Well, yeah, but you did use logic to follow, to make your own path, pretty much.
Grace Slick is smiling someplace.
Yeah, because there was things that you saw that were, you know, correct and things that were incorrect. Like when you saw that battery power was going away and the codes were clearing.
The codes were clearing. It's like, hey, wait, did you touch that battery?
And
I had to go pee, but did you touch that battery? Because if you touch that battery, you're in big trouble.
Right, so now you don't know if somebody had been in that fuse box under the hood, there's fuses and relays in there, or if, you know, you don't know. Was there ever crash damage? Was there, you know, what had gone on? Was it just, you know, corrosion, contamination, and, you know, all the normal.
It was an RR. It was a rot rat.
Yeah, there you go.
Yeah. Always wash off your Jeep junk when you come back from the off-roading.
Oh, yeah, that can help, right? Yeah.
Jeep junk should be clean at all times.
Yeah, definitely.
Right, Al, if you're listening.
Yeah. So that was.
So we fried another hour.
Yeah.
We flambéed it.
We did.
We toasted it.
We sure did.
And, any other fire metaphors you'd like to introduce?
But we did come up with a lot of tech, and I was reminded that when people go to Zazzle, they want to look for that Motor Mouth Radio stuff. We were thinking about a Motor Mouth Radio dirty T-shirt contest.
Yes.
Where people would pick up the T-shirts from there and see how dirty they can get it, and we haven't figured out. See, but it's kind of loose because we haven't figured out. Like, okay, if it's a contest, there should be some kind of a prize, and we don't know what the prize is going to be.
Yeah. So any suggestions? Yeah, you know, bring them on.
But we're thinking about it. So go pick one up
prizes
anyway.
Prizes are overrated.
I know you're right, Kim. Kim said prizes are overrated, and she's correct.
Yeah, you know, all that winning stuff.
Unless it's a prize to be a fly on the wall for Thunder Road, and then people would. I tell you, a lot of our listeners would take that prize because
a lot of our listeners tell me about after they started listening to us, and then they catch your show, Kim.
That's right.
You definitely have some. You have definitely picked up some followers over there.
Absolutely.
You know.
Yeah. Well,
and she's also you're also very. Enthusiastic behind the board.
Oh, we hear Kim in the hallway.
Yeah.
We'll be sitting out in the hallway after the show.
Yeah. No,
and we're just talking, and we hear all of a sudden the music goes to like club level 5.
Boom, boom,
it's like warp drive 8.
Yeah, seriously.
And then you hear Kim like screaming something. I'm like, yeah. Okay, guess that's good.
Yeah, so
good
so you know what? It's definitely enthusiastic. Yeah, we should make it. We should make it a fly on the wall on Kim's show.
Yeah, that would
definitely
be cool. Absolutely.
But if anybody's got any suggestions, Facebook, Instagram, Twitter,
right?
Rock, no tied to a rock.
You can send us an email also at motormouthradio@ncc.edu. And you can short track it to just mmr@ncc.edu. Because
every time you say NCC, I always say, want to say 1701.
When you know the IT guys, you get to make aliases, so. You know,
yeah, you know, we're kind of genetically predisposed towards aliases.
I was just reminded that with the T-shirts too, there are two T-shirts up there. There is the, because you and I couldn't agree on the graphic that we like best. I like one.
We don't
like
always agree, folks. See?
So there's a Joe shirt and a Ray shirt, and people can pick the one they like the best.
Yep.
I think if we put a Kim shirt up, that's the one that's going to sell.
Yeah, so, that would make much more sense actually. Yeah.
We'll make it out of, like, cat and dog fur. That's what we'll do, yeah. We'll paws on it instead of sleeves. I don't know, something like that.
Seriously.
So, yeah, that works, right? Hey, it works for us, too. We're all animal lovers.
We contribute all the fur. That's not a problem.
Oh, you and me both. I gave a bag of T-shirts to Mike at the shop, and I said, listen, pay no attention to the fuzz. And it's fur, because these were under the pool table for a while, and the cats will live in there. I said,
just wash them.
But it's really just domestic cat fur. It's something that's going to kill you.
It's either that or you can make a really nice duster out. out of it. You know what I mean? You can just kind of glue it to a shtick, and then you can take the dust off the cars. Right. You know?
Anyway, that's it. We're going to get out of here. Motormouth Radio, and till next week, we'll have Audra in, and we'll...
Yeah. We'll be back. You've been warned.
And we'll see you then.
Take care.
Bye.
Bye.